Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So our focus shifting to Libya for the rest of the hour. We want to take a look at alternatives to Muammar Gaddafi, as the people of Libya, the ones who wish that Muammar Gaddafi would actually leave power, are looking for civic alternatives to a government that has ruled for more than 40 years. Joining us now is New York Times Paris Bureau Chief Stephen Erlanger, who's in Paris, which is actually a great listening post for what's going on in Libya because of the strong French connection to Libya and the longstanding relationship between European countries, including France, and Muammar Gaddafi. First of all, Stephen Erlanger, good morning.
Morning.
What do we make of the alternatives, such as they might be emerging now, to Muammar Gaddafi should he suddenly decide to leave power? And again, that's very much an open question.
Well, it is an open question. And it's also quite confusing because one of the things Gaddafi had done in the last 42 years was quite rigorously try to break up all alternatives and institutions that would create alternatives. He even mistrusted his own army and set up militias and paramilitaries that were close to him. Libya is, you know, it's a huge country, but only has about 6.5 million people, and it has a strong tribal structure. And on top of that, quite a lot of oil got dumped. And it is very, very difficult. You see it even in eastern Libya, which is an old area of conflict for Gaddafi, where the opposition wants him out, but isn't quite sure that it has a structure to put in his place. And, you know, this is why Libya isn't Tunisia or Egypt.
And if we were to watch the dynamics in that sort of tribal network that you've described there, what would we see to assure us that maybe an alternative is emerging? Or I guess the alternative to an emerging civic class among the tribes is the internecine sectarian warfare that we saw in Iraq.
Well, or you could find a sort of partition of the country. I mean, eastern Libya, which is where the revolt started around Benghazi, has traditionally been the stronghold of the Senussi tribe, and that produced the first monarch of Libya, King Idris. But he was the one who was overthrown by Colonel Gaddafi and his army colleagues in 1969. And Gaddafi then built a kind of anti-Senussi, anti-Eastern coalition of tribes based on his own tribe and two others. Now, that begins to break up a bit because many people want him gone. But there's a kind of loyalty on which he's also built his paramilitary structures. So you could imagine a different kind of tribal pact, but not everyone listens to their tribal leaders anymore. You see that with one of the big tribes called the Warfala. Their leaders have come out against Gaddafi, but many members of the tribe are still, if not fighting actively for him, are perceived as loyal to him.
Well, if you want to know more about these tribes, the Magraha, the Warfala, the Senussis that Stephen Erlanger is talking about as we try to determine what alternatives there are to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, there's a link to his story in the New York Times on the takeaway.org website. Stephen, hold on for a second. We're going to go now to Tripoli Live, where BBC correspondent Paul Danahar is standing by. We've been talking about sort of tribal loyalties to Gaddafi and the possible alternative that some of these tribal groups might be to a Gaddafi government that departs. Is that even a relevant discussion at this point, Paul Danahar?
Not in Tripoli, but I think the thing that everybody really fears about the tribal structure is that it will rip the country apart. I mean, even people that are liberal anti-Gaddafi residents of Tripoli have told me that there is no good scenario here. Either Gaddafi will crack down and kill a lot of people and maintain power, or he'll disappear. And even if there is an element of calm to begin with, the tribes will start fighting amongst each other, and the country will be plunged into something similar to Somalia. Now, that might be a doomsday scenario, but it really does worry people here. At the moment in Tripoli, the government seems to be well and truly in control. You haven't got to go very far outside the capital to meet people that don't want Gaddafi, and there are certainly people inside the capital that don't want Gaddafi. But I think the problem is, from where I'm sitting, there seems to be a lot of local revolutions going on. Unlike Egypt, where I was a few weeks ago, which was one big revolution that swept everybody away, here it seems to be people liberating their own turf. And I'm not sure the opposition here has the might to do that in Tripoli yet.
You know, there was once a kingdom called Tripoli, before there was Libya, you know, hundreds of years ago. Is that what we're devolving towards? Separate city-states, as you've described?
Well, I don't think that'll be what it finally looks like, but I think that's how the revolution is going. No one's got the numbers to march anywhere else, so people are defending their home turf, and the people they've ousted are trying to get it back. But I think the key thing is this will probably be settled within the present power structures of the regime, because unless they can get their military down the road, the opposition probably won't be able to take Tripoli. And lots of analysts will tell you that while they do have a lot of military hardware, they don't have very much in the way of infrastructure to move it around. Now, if that's true of the Libyan government, that's also true of the people that are opposing them. So
All right, that BBC correspondent Paul Danahar live from Tripoli, Libya, who left us with a great takeaway that I want to put to Stephen Erlanger in Paris. He says, Paul Danahar, that this will be resolved within the framework of the current power structure. Do you buy that?
Well, I don't know what to buy with Libya. You know, it's even hard to buy oil these days. But, you know, it's a country about which we don't know very much. But given the structures of power, I do believe he's probably right that parts of the regime will at some point decide they'd better save what they can and maybe do a deal. There's already talking about it. But whether that leaves Gaddafi and his sons in place is a question I couldn't possibly begin to answer.
Indeed. And there's no Tahrir Square sort of spectacle available for the people of Tripoli, even if every single one of them does march. Stephen Erlanger pointing out that Libya, a big country, but a small population in comparison to Egypt. Very different forces, very different rivalries. New York Times Paris Bureau Chief Stephen Erlanger telling us about some of the alternatives and the tribal rivalries inside Libya. Again, go to our website, thetakeaway.org. You can see more and get some of the vocabulary that's emerging from Libya. Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome.